Hello, this is Jason, and this is broadcast number 4. This is My Journey 2012 to 2020. And in this episode, I fly to Miami, Florida from Honolulu, Hawaii. You know, I just, after living in Hawaii for a couple of years, you know, I moved there in November of 2014, I guess 3 years. I just felt like I needed a change and wanted a change of pace. And so I saved up my money for a plane ticket and I flew to Miami. And that's what this episode is going to be about. I'm going to explain how I was able to pull that off and where I lived, how I, you know, wrote books and did everything day to day. And I hope you've enjoyed the first 3 episodes so far. I've enjoyed recording them and broadcasting them. It's helped me to think about my experiences and recall what happened. And also, it's great to have a record of them because I don't know if you lose memories as you get older, but I think that you acquire so many that you have to sift through so much information that they don't just come up as easily anymore. So I'm stoked that I'm putting this all on a video and audio, so I'll have it. So, without further ado, on December 25th, Christmas, 2017, I flew from Honolulu to Fort Lauderdale. And I had a bicycle in Hawaii, but I stuck a note on it that morning before I took a taxi to the airport and just said, free, take it, it's yours. Now, I wasn't sure when or if I was going to return to Hawaii. You know, I wasn't thinking that far ahead. And, you know, when you live on the street, you don't make, you know, plans super far in advance. You kind of live day to day and in the moment. That's one of the exciting things about it. And all I did know was that, you know, I didn't want to leave my stuff there because I would have to pay the storage unit a fee every month to keep it there. I figured, you know, if I moved back, I would just rent a storage unit again and do it all over again, which is exactly what I ended up doing. But I did it differently when I returned a little bit, and I'll explain that later. So I didn't tell anybody I was leaving, which is kind of just me these days, you know. It's my life is private, personal. I don't like to telegraph my moves or my shots unless I'm feeling gutsy and confident and belligerent and like, you tried to stop me kind of thing. But the funny thing is that when I do a little research or start thinking about it, just real minor stuff, I start seeing like little signs and words pop up online, you know. Maybe it's a joke that a comedian says or a search or a news article or a politician, just something like makes me think, huh, it's almost like these people know me or are watching me or listening to me. It's pretty amazing. I think we live in a very connected world these days. Now, I stayed up all night on the last night that my storage was paid for in Honolulu, and I packed up my stuff, you know, and watched the clock as it ticked, you know, 1, 2, 3. I couldn't leave because nobody that I know of was able to have 24-hour access in that storage unit. They used to have it, but they changed it. And so I was just by myself, you know, taking my time. And I always like to have a good relationship with the storage people. It's wise to fly under the radar, not be the one that they're like thinking about when they're off work, like, damn that guy, you know. So I just, you know, try to keep my nose clean and be nice and respectful. And I always like to write a little note when I leave saying, you know, thank you for the storage and I've left and vacated and my spot, you know, you can kind of thing. You can check it out if you want. I cleaned it. Now, before I moved to Miami, I had only visited twice. I visited one time when I was a little kid with my mom. We visited my aunt in Hollywood. And then I visited one other time when I was on a cross-country trip looking at different colleges that I was thinking about attending for graduate school. And so that was in 1997. And I went all the way down pretty far to like the Coral Castle in Florida that time. And saw my aunt as well. But I didn't really spend much time in Miami. And I didn't know about Coconut Grove until I did a little research. But like I did, you know, I figured out that that community had everything I needed. So I didn't really need to see it. Or, you know, it had a storage unit that was affordable and close to things like the grocery store and the metro and the bus and a laundromat. I had a 24-hour fitness gym where I could go and shower and get cleaned up, you know, and it had a grocery store and stuff. You know, I'm not real picky. All I need is a couple of simple things to count on, and I can pack my bags and go. That's why if you're watching this and you're thinking about hitting the street, whether it's by choice or by force and you got no choice, you know, it's just plan ahead and know what you need. And these videos should be real informative and helpful about what to do and how to figure it out. Because, you know, some things are real important and other things aren't important at all. So I knew that the weather was usually nice in Miami. But for some reason, when I was heading over there, my dad said that he talked to my great aunt Dixie Sawyer in Hollywood, Florida. And she said that she didn't want me to come over. And that was kind of shocking. But, you know, be that as it may, they experienced record cold temperatures right at that time. And there were lizards falling out of trees. And they said, you know, don't touch them because they could wake up and bite you. Now, most of that was in the most northern parts of Florida, you know, up by the Panhandle. And I was in South Florida, but still, it was cold, a lot colder than I thought it was going to be. And so I had to buy some warm clothing. I bought a few long sleeve shirts because I started wearing them like under my shirts because I was pretty lean at the time and I was used to Hawaii weather and it was warm all the time. But that passed eventually and it got warmer again. Now I flew into Fort Lauderdale because it was cheaper than flying directly into Miami. I got a great deal, but I had to get a ride from Fort Lauderdale to Miami. And so, you know, I've never used Uber or Lyft or any of those ride-sharing programs, and I don't think I ever will. But at that moment, I actually downloaded one, and I started thinking about using it, and it just seemed way too intrusive. And so I deleted the app, and after I found a ride on Craigslist. And somebody on Craigslist was offering $40 to take people from Fort Lauderdale to Miami. And I said, perfect. You know, that's probably how much it would have cost for a taxi or, you know, an Uber or Lyft anyways. And the guy was real nice and professional and his car was clean. And you know, we chatted on the way down. It was perfect. He drove me to the storage unit that I had planned on renting, and it was clean and had good hours that I wanted. I think it was open at 6 a.m. and closed at 10 p.m. It's called Public Storage, and it was right next to the rail system, you know, the bus line, grocery store, and about a mile or so from the laundromat. I didn't get a bike there, except for one time when I rented it one for 24 hours, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But so I just walked everywhere. It was great. I rode the metro a couple times and took a couple buses, but very few buses. And I'll tell you about those adventures here in a sec. Now, Coconut Grove is kind of a nice upscale community. It reminded me of something like maybe La Jolla in San Diego. It just was a nice place where tourists came and visited. You know, there weren't homeless people really. Maybe that I noticed, and wasn't, and there was a couple homeless people, but not many, and it was just that kind of atmosphere, and that's kind of what I've been used to. You know, Honolulu is a little upscale, a lot of the places in San Diego, so I felt like I fit in pretty well there, and showered daily at the 24-hour fitness gym and rode the exercise bike there. There was a grocery store called Millam's Grocery Store, and they had good food and some organic food, and I would buy it there and walk across the parking lot and eat it at the Taco Bell. They never ever hassled me there. I never ate any Taco Bell. But and they didn't have Wi-Fi, so I would get more writing done there and thinking done there. And I had YouTube Premium, so I would watch some videos that I had downloaded there. Yeah, that was where I started using the YouTube Premium service, and it served me pretty well. Because when I was at a Wi-Fi network, I could download a bunch of videos to go watch elsewhere and then just delete them. And then there's a McDonald's across the street also that I went to. Because they had Wi-Fi, and they're open real late. It might have even been a 24-hour McDonald's, come to think of it. When I was there, I usually slept nights there, but I did sleep days a few times, maybe a dozen times or a couple dozen times. And more on that in a second. Weird story. When I was in Taco Bell, I saw kind of a strange guy eyeballing me, and when I left, I went across the street to McDonald's. And when I got to McDonald's, a police officer walked in, and he told me to come outside with him, and he asked me if I stole this guy's wallet. And I said, no, I didn't steal his wallet. And he accused me of stealing his wallet. And it was really hard to understand what in the world this guy was thinking, because he should have known I didn't try to steal his wallet. You know, I was minding my own business and sitting at a table there. But be that as it may, the police were a little abrasive, but this was the only time that the police ever got on me. And I was wondering, you know, if it was even some kind of like sting kind of thing, you know, where somebody, the guy works for the police or helps them or owes him a favor or whatever, and gives them this false line, so they come and rifle through my backpack and my ID and figure out who I am and what I'm doing there, because I was pretty new in town. But I was buying some organic wine there from Millam's by the bottle and pouring it into a little flask, 7-8 ounce flask. And that was probably the worst part, is they opened that up to look at it, and then they actually, it leaked out. They didn't close it. But I might have had like a real tiny amount of weed, but I think they just overlooked it. They didn't care. And they looked at my ID, asked me why I was there. They put me in handcuffs behind my back while they did it. And while I was there, all these different cops kept showing up. It was kind of weird. I would say about 3 or 4 different policemen showed up separately, and they're all different races. I remember there was a white guy, a Mexican guy, a black guy, and a Latino guy. And it was almost like they were feeling me out to see like who I was and what kind of people I would talk to and who I discriminated against or who I, whatever. But I'm not racist, and I don't discriminate against anybody. So I was a little bit exasperated because I was innocent. But, you know, that's how innocent people should be, you know, in my opinion. You know, guilty people act a certain way, and so do innocent people. But innocent people don't act. They just react or respond. So I didn't run into too much trouble as I slept. You know, there's 3 places that I slept in normally. Now, one was just my main sleep spot, which was barely covered in this little concrete place across from the storage. Another time, oh yeah, I guess maybe 4 spots. One time I napped a few times I napped at this park that was down in Coconut Grove across from the library. But they don't let you stay overnight at any parks. So if you want to sleep in a park, it's got to be during the daytime. And some people get on you. You know, a lot of cops or security guards sometimes tell you to get up or move or what have you. I slept under the highway a few times in the daytime. And they turned into naps or sort of uninterrupted sleep most of the time. And that didn't work too well. It was kind of loud. The metro came over. Well, I guess it wasn't a highway. It was a metro rail overpass. So no cars, just the train. I would hear the train every 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes or something. But the other sleep spot that I liked during the daytime when I did sleep in days was the Douglas Park. It was about maybe a mile or so. Through, I had to wind through a little residential neighborhood. But when I needed to sleep, you know, get a solid 8 hours during the day, that was a good place to do it. And then I would stay up all night and go to the gym and go to a few of the places that are open 24 hours. I did some fasting there too, and I would break my fast. Police seemed pretty aloof and out of sight for the most part. There were some bad drivers that like almost hit people in the crosswalk that were a little frustrating. They did that in Honolulu too a bit, and it was upsetting. So I walked everywhere. It rained from time to time, but I was pretty used to it. I visited the Coconut Grove Library there. They gave me a temporary library card for a while, and I used that. I think it was a 3-month card, and by the time I went there, it just worked out almost perfectly, the amount of time that I was able to use it. If I can recall, I think that's what they do for people that don't get it for longer periods or for a year or something. And it might have been free or real cheap, but they gave me a card and stuff, and I was able to check out books and use the computer there. There's one other library, too, that was a little bit more inland that I visited a few times, and it was pretty good. It was real quiet there, too, especially outside in the park. You know, the library had this little grassy area, and there's like nobody ever there. Rarely anybody, even hardly in the library, and it was almost brand new looking. Now, there's a couple Starbucks there that I visited. One of them was down the street from a health food store and a hotel in Coconut Grove. And that's where I started writing a new book in my brand new world series called How You Will Die. It was the 8th book in the series. And I created a character named Ross Rico Reich. And my uncle's name is Ross. So he's kind of loosely based on my uncle. My uncle Ross was stationed in Germany, too. And Rico was stationed in Germany when he got his discharge. And there's 30 stories, and somebody dies in every story. And it kind of expanded my fiction writing abilities. I had taken a fiction writing class at Long Beach City College, and I had written a lot of one-off stories for the first bunch of books for A Brand New World. But there, I changed it up a little bit. One of the Brand New World books before this one was actually about a dozen some odd stories that had special meanings for my daughter. That was, I didn't mention that before, but I wrote that in Honolulu, and that was pretty special and exciting to read and write. So How You'll Die follows Rico to Virginia after being discharged from the U.S. military in Germany, and he needs to share a secret with an independent media journalist named Alice Jones, with info leaks on the West Coast. So he drives across the country, and like I said, somebody dies in every story. And I use the name Alice because that was my great-grandmother's name, and she lived to be 100. And the name Jones because it was part of Alex Jones at InfoWars. So I just conflated their names, Alice Jones. Also wrote a lot of poetry in Miami, and I published a book called Madness in Miami of poems. So, you know, in Starbucks, I used their bathroom and electricity. And there's another one, too, that was in Coconut Grove that was a little closer to everything. And I visited there. I try to not spend all, you know, some people like to spend hours and hours at one place all day if they got nowhere to go, like if they're homeless. But I've never, ever been that way because I just know that I'm an acquired taste, for one. And I know people just, you know, wear out their welcome, and I didn't want to do that, so I like to spend an hour or two one place, hour or two another place, hour or two another place, hour, you know, like that, and just kind of hop around throughout the day, and, you know, make sure I got some alone time, and time in the park, hopefully, and, you know, write some stuff, do some thinking. But so that was one place that I would hop into. I'd get hot water from them for free. They have triple filtered cold water, which is the best water you can find, probably. And sometimes I buy the like dark organic chocolate peanut butter cups, which is, you know, one of the very few organic things they have there. I brew my own organic coffee and tea. Now, the 24-hour fitness gym there was good. It was a true 24-hour fitness gym, which means they don't close on the weekends. And there was an upstairs area that was almost always empty, except for when there was a class going on. And I did take a yoga class or two up there, come to think of it. But I liked it in the middle of the night because it was so peaceful, and I could charge my devices, and they had Wi-Fi. So, you know, I kind of get over there and do some stretching and be charging my stuff and surfing the web all at the same time. It's good to multitask. And they'll let you do that. They're pretty cool, as long as you're not sleeping. If you sleep, they'll toss you out real fast. So, and there's also a park that was across the street from the library that I liked a lot. It was right next to a little indoor soccer rink. And I always saw cool-looking lizards around there and squirrels. And there's a yoga class like once or twice a week in the park, and I took it once or twice, and it was good. There's also a playground, and people will come and hang out and with their kids, and there's a bathroom there and a drinking fountain. All these things, sometimes you tend to take for granted, you know, if you don't need them. But the minute you need this stuff, you start noticing where it is and how to get it and who's got it and who doesn't and how late it's open and when it's closed. I started using a space blanket there when I took a nap, because they're really lightweight and easy to take around. And I think they're also called Mylar blankets. They're real thin. They tend to be a little noisy, but and they reflect really, really well. Like if you've got a grow room and you're growing plants, put those around it, and it will reflect right into the plants. I did that when I grew plants, and it really optimizes all the light better than white walls, better than tin foil. Mylar is really good for that. And they're kind of see-through. So, you know, if you pull it over your head, you could see if somebody's bugging you or see what's around you. Now, I also visited Key West when I was there. I wanted to see what it would be like because I figured it might be underwater one day. I'll tell you about that in just a second. I visited Key West and the Everglades. It was pretty windy there. So when I slept in Douglas Park, I would sleep on the side of a tree that would partially block the wind. That was pretty helpful. And you know, Miami gets some strange dust that blows over from Africa. And you know, they always say, if you look up Miami or Florida man, you know, there's a lot of crazy stories about Florida man does this and does that. And you know, they have bear attacks there and sinkholes and all kinds of wild and crazy stuff. And who knows why, you know. It's in the South, but it doesn't really feel like the South, you know? It doesn't feel like South Carolina or Georgia or, you know, one of those states. Partially because the Latinos, I think. So I forgot that I was even in the South, you know, most of the time. But I just wonder what the actual, you know, the dust from the African dust, I could kind of feel it on my skin, and it was different. I wonder what that really does. They say that for a long, long time has been a good catalyst, you know, for the growth of plants and how the whole place came to be. But the winds were so strong, and it was such a strange feeling. It almost felt like the place shouldn't be there. I don't know how to say it any better than that, but it almost felt like it was. It just popped up and it was going to go away, and that if it was just water there, that it would seem just perfectly fine. You know, when I slept in the concrete across from the storage, I would set my alarm for like maybe 5:55 or somewhere around there a.m. every day, and I would get up and make it to the storage unit right when they opened at 6 a.m. That was a great routine for me, because I would get my sleep stuff out of there, you know, before 10 when they closed. And I think my body only needs 7.5 to 8 hours of sleep every night. So that worked out perfectly well. And that means I got up in the dark before traffic started stinking on me, before noises and people were out. Worked out real well. Once in a while, I heard of somebody walking a dog or something, or a car would drive by. But, you know, if I would have slept until 7, 8, or 9, you know, then people start realizing what you're doing and they could kick you out and it could cause problems. It was there that I started getting some deliveries from Amazon. I remember at least 2 packages I got in. I didn't have a mail there, a mailbox or anything, or any way to get mail. So I couldn't get the boxes sent to my mail. So what I did is Amazon has these delivery boxes, not in Hawaii, but in other mainland cities, where they will ship it to the box. What it is, it's like a whole bunch of lockers that are in front of a store or in a store. And you just, you know, when you go into the shipping part, when you buy some stuff, you just tell it to ship it there, and they do. And so one of them was in front of a Quick Stop convenience store, and another one was inside of Whole Foods. I think it was the Coral Gables Whole Foods was the closest one to me there. So that worked out real well. At the Quick Stop, you know, I bought organic Rockstar energy drinks, a hoodie, a glass pipe. It was just, they had a lot of interesting things there. They had hats. I almost tried some kind of legal flower there that you're supposed to ingest. I meant to look up the name for that, but I forget. Oh, kratom or kratom. Yeah, I've never had that before, and I don't think I'm ever going to have it. But it was kind of tempting, especially when I wasn't able to find weed. But I did find a guy that sold weed, good weed too. So I bought a few bags from him. I rode the metro train to Walmart and to Whole Foods, and they're at different stops. But the Walmart sold this organic teriyaki tofu by Wildwood that was so good. Oh my gosh. Every time I went there, I would buy it unless they were out, and I was real bummed when they were out. Once in a while, I'd even buy 2. And like they're refrigerated, so they don't keep forever, but so I would like chow one down and keep one for later. They also sold some organic chocolate there that I hadn't seen anywhere else. Sometimes when I see these places like Walmart selling organic food and they only sell a few things, I almost want to buy it just as a thank you for carrying something organic, even if it's a little pricey like that chocolate was. Or even if I don't exactly 100% need it for my diet, but want to try it. Because a lot of places don't even bother. Now, I rode the metro train to Miami's airport when I took the bus to Key West and when I left Florida. It came in handy, the metro, and it was pretty clean. Once in a while, it became crowded. And it was pretty cheap. I always bought a ticket. They're pretty strict there. It's not like the one in Long Beach to Los Angeles. That one, they rarely, if ever, check the tickets. And you can get away with not buying one. But the one in Miami, it's a little different. There's a security guy there and a turnstile. And you got to swipe it and go. It would be really difficult to ride that without paying. I rode it once, too, to go to the library, the main downtown Miami library. Now, my trip to Key West was a lot of fun. You know, I paid $18 for a Greyhound bus round trip from Miami to Key West. And it was a 3.5-hour trip each way. And the Greyhound bus took me to the airport there in Key West. So I got a taxi to take me to the main drag after I got there. Now, for several days, I just walked around Key West. You know, I think Key West is going to be underwater one day. You know, they already flood when there's high tides and stuff. And, you know, if oceans are rising, like they say they're rising because of, you know, the way the weather is going, you can call it whatever you want, climate change, global warming, polar ice caps melting, you know, call it God taking a whiz. I don't care what you call it, but I think that the oceans are rising, and, you know, I might take my grandkids back there one day to snorkel over Key West for all I know. I took lots of pictures and visited some organic cafes. It was difficult to find too much organic food, but I did some fasting, and I found enough. I liked a place called Date and Thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, as in the herb, and they had some good food. And I liked the pier there. It was beautiful. I was surprised at how close it was to Cuba. There was a sign there saying how far Cuba was, and I think it was 90 miles or 100 miles. Duval Street was a lot of fun to walk down. Some transvestites were there, and they behaved themselves pretty well, even though I could tell that they were kind of interested in me. And I was pretty much on the straight and narrow at the time, so I wasn't really interested. Hold on 1 second. Okay, sorry for that delay. I heard that the camera went off and I wanted to turn it back on. Last time I had a camera issue, and I'm recording two different videos at the same time in case one goes bad, and because one is a live broadcast and the other one is for an archive, and the archive one stopped. It ran out of battery, and so I just heard it stop again. I'm going to try to splice the two halves together and upload the copy, or at least just keep them for my records. Either way, this is going to be on Periscope, and it's going to be on YouTube. And the audio will be on my website. Excuse me, 1 second. Now, I recall there's a Denny's in Key West, and I remember one night, you know, going there and hanging out pretty late. And that was just kind of my mindset. Let's stay focused, you know, stay healthy. Right, do my thing, and not go, you know, not just go full hedonistic on everybody, you know. And I'm happy I chose that path. You know, I don't feel like I missed out at all. I really like the natural beauty. There's a lot of great looking flowers there and stuff. Just so amazing. I took so many pictures, and I uploaded them to my Instagram account. The Hard Rock Cafe is there, and they've got some cool rock memorabilia. And it's always unique, too, that each one's got stuff that no other Hard Rock has. So going inside of there and taking pictures was totally worth it. I took a sink shower in a bathroom by the pier. Now, I almost never take sink showers. The first time I ever took a sink shower, I was on a Greyhound bus from San Diego to Memphis. And I was in Texas. And I had ridden the bus for, like, I think 2 days. And I'm like, I know why you we call this Greyhound, because by the time you get there, you're as tired as a dog and you smell like a dog. I coined that little goofy phrase. But yeah, that was my first sink shower there. And so when I was in Key West, you know, I brought some extra clothes in my backpack, and I only intended on staying there for a few days. I think it was 3 or 4 days. And so I slept at the post office. It was well lit and it was safe. And I think if somebody attacks another person on post office property, it's a federal crime. And there's cameras there. So if you ever want to be safe and you don't know where to sleep or go, sleep at the post office. Now, some post offices are open 24 hours. And they've got, you know, boxes where people come in and out all the time, and it gets kind of noisy. But, you know, I've found that that's a decent place to crash if you need to overnight. I got a paper bag, and I opened it all up. And if you do that, they stretch out to about this big. And I just use that as a little sleep mat. And then I folded that up and stuck it in my backpack. I mean, if you're the kind of person that wants to bring a sleeping bag or like a, you know, a wilderness, you know, harness backpack and do that, go right ahead. You know, some people do that, but that's not me. You know, I like to blend in. And I don't mind sleeping on concrete. You know, when I was a kid, I remember my dad saying, you know, try to sleep on the hardest surface that you can tolerate. And I like the concrete. Concrete actually feels good. I'm totally used to it. And so that worked out very nicely. Nobody ever bugged me there at all, you know. I appreciated it. And I didn't wear out my welcome. You know, I did the same sort of thing. Grabbed, you know, just as much sleep as I needed and got the heck out of there. I took a bus back to the airport because it was only a few bucks and it was cheaper than the taxi. I think the taxi might have overcharged me. There's also a Starbucks there, and that's where I spent some time. I think I might have grabbed a quick shave there once or twice. And real nice, pretty French girl there. She's flirting with me a little bit. And I would charge up my devices and get online there. It's a good place to start out my day and kind of plan what I was going to do that day. Now, my trip to the Everglades was an adventure, too. And totally worth it. I found a company online that took people on airboats rides. And they arranged to meet me. And I didn't have a car, so I had to be sort of creative. You know, the Everglades are not very close to Coconut Grove. I want to say it was 28 miles away. So what I did was I rented a bike for 24 hours. And I think it was 10 or 15 bucks for that bike. And they have them on the street. You know, you might have seen them before. You like swipe your card and they give you the bike. And then you bring the bike back. So I rode it from Coconut Grove to the Metro Rail. And then I took the Metro Rail a short distance, and then I took a bus as far as I could, which was right by Florida International University, FIU. And from there, I hopped on the bike, and I rode on to the meeting spot. And there was a McDonald's and a Starbucks on the way, so I stopped off at both of those, you know, went to the bathroom, hydrated, and I gave myself plenty of time. And I got on their Wi-Fi real fast, I think. And it worked out perfectly. I just did the reverse to come back, and I made it. I made it within 24 hours, so I got a cool rate on the bike. Didn't have to pay anything extra. So the Everglades were beautiful. I saw alligators and birds, and I rode the airboat with a small group, took lots of pictures and videos. And I saw how people could totally get lost because they all looked the same, you know? It's just a strip of water with all these reeds and everything. But I recommend checking out the Everglades if you visit Florida. Real pretty and unique. Now, sadly, while I was there, the Stoneman Douglas shooting happened, and it was about 50 miles north of me. You know, I was really curious what's happening. Every time there's like a school shooting or something, and I'm always watching real closely to see what in the heck is really happening and why it's happening. And I'm sort of a journalist at heart, and I've been covering different stories throughout my life, fiction and nonfiction. So I kind of wanted to go there, but it was just too far away. But I did watch the news about it at the gym. Another thing that happened there that was tragic was the FIU bridge collapsed while I was there. And that was sad and unfortunate. I think 6 people died. I took a metro to a bus stop because I wanted to go to Miami Beach for a couple of days, but it never showed up, so I never went. I was really upset, too. I think it was the last bus of the night, and I confronted the bus company about it because I spent so much time and energy to get there, and it turned out that I missed a concert that I didn't even know was going to be there. But one of my favorite bands, Bush, was playing there on March 24th. And the place is so small, I think I'm almost certain that I would have heard it or heard about it and been able to maybe hear it from outside the stadium or get a ticket from a scalper and go in and watch it. And I was upset that I wasn't able to pull that off. But, I mean, you can only do so much if the bus doesn't show up. I mean, I would have had to walk many, many miles, and I don't think I could have pulled all that off. Well, that is the long and short of my trip to Miami for 4 months. And after Miami, I visited San Diego and visited my dad briefly while I was there. And then I flew back to Hawaii and I moved to Hawaii Kai. And Hawaii Kai was awesome. That was on the windward side of the island. And so that's what my next broadcast is going to be about, number 5. On Saturday, April 25th, I'm going to explain how that all worked out. And I started writing books of haikus there. That was where I wrote my first book of haikus. So thanks a lot for listening, and I wish you the best. I will talk to you soon.